Yeah. Now, one of the things you just brought up there was the idea of paying for your services. And I know when Larry O'Brien was elected, he was, of course, he famously ran on that campaign of
zero means
zero.
Zero
means zero, right?
Yeah.
Now, but you, in things that you've said and things that you've said, especially on the proposed 2010 budget, and just during your career as a counselor over the last decade and more, you've always seemed to be more of the here are the services, this is how we're going to pay for them thing.
That's
like,
right.
How do you, how will you step up to the challenge as mayor of communicating just exactly where our tax dollars are going and making that linkage between, yes, your property taxes will go up by this, but we will have, you know, X many more police, X many more OC transport trips?
Well, I think it's a function of being honest with the electorate. I mean, I take a viewpoint that the people you elect are serving on behalf of their population. They create a city government to deliver services, and they need to hear from their elected representatives what it costs to deliver these services so we can have the debate about what kind of services we provide at what cost. If people don't want to pay for it, it ain't going to happen. But I think you can make a point with the public. The public, you know, the public are pretty smart once they have the information. And part of our job as municipal leaders is to make sure that they have that information, to share that debate, that discussion, that conversation with our electors, and find some kind of consensus. You will not get total agreement. There will be those who say, why am I paying for these services that I don't use? I mean, you hear this about from some seniors, they paid, you know, why are they paying for continuing to pay for schools? Well, quite frankly, we all benefit as a society from having a good education system. One of my favorite stories comes from the history of Ottawa. Over 150 years ago, the huge debate about whether or not to bring in piped water. The whole town wasn't a very big town at that time, lower town and upper town, but they were all on well systems. But the well systems, because there was no central sewage system either, were being contaminated, and there were typhoid epidemics every year, and kids were dying, families were dying. And finally, the businesses and the doctors came to City Council and said, look, raise our taxes so we can do what they're doing in New York and Boston and other major cities and build a piped water system so we can be assured of good, clean water so we won't have kids dying from typhoid. And finally, City Council listened to the community, did raise the taxes, did put in the piped water system. It was a good investment. We take it for granted now, but it was a huge debate at the time. And so part of our challenge is because this city government is to provide the services that citizens want, is to engage them in that discussion. And I have been successful over the years in saying, look, if you want to retain your standard of living here and the price of gas goes up, you're not expecting us to take the buses off the road, are you? You're not expecting us to have fewer police cars. So if the price of gas goes up, and this is what it takes to run the bus system, to have the police cars, to have the garbage trucks, to have the ambulances, then, you know, we're going to have to pay for this. And people get that. People do challenge us at the municipal level, and I think it's absolutely appropriate, to make sure we're delivering these services efficiently. I mean, no one likes waste. And that's part of our challenge, and we do build into our budget process efficiency targets because there are changes in technology, there are better practices in other cities that we can take advantage of. And we should always have that whip behind us. But if we're going to expand paramedics, for example, we have a growing population, we have an aging population, the number of 911 calls are going up. If we're going to hire 23 more paramedics, well, we can't fool anybody. They have to be paid for. And if you want to have that service, if you want to have that good response time, it's got to be paid for. And that's the nature of our debate. When I first came to this town, which was to go to university at Carleton, I should mention that my son and daughter did go to Ottawa U.
But
when I came to this town in 1970, the main roads during winter were not plowed to bare pavement. They were snow-packed, which is cheaper. Well, today, we have a different standard. People have different expectations. They are cleared. The main roads are bare pavement. Well, that costs more. Well, people understand to get that level of service does cost more. That's the kind of discussion we ought to have. It's not open-ended. It is sometimes controversial because people are tax-averse. I mean, no one wants to pay more tax than they have to.
Yeah, of course.
But it's plain and simple. Even Larry O'Brien gets it today. Taxes pay for services, and people want the services. So that's the discussion that I'm going to have, going to be straight up front. Look, you know, here are the issues before us. These are the choices before us. We have this conversation, and there are a diversity of views in our community. Not everyone's going to be happy with the result. But at the end of the day, we ought to be able to provide the services that people want and are willing to pay for.
Now, you've mentioned quite a bit about our diverse community. Of course, Sandy Hill is a community with quite a bit of diversity. You know, the difference between students and older families or older couples that live there. And there's all manner of different needs and different opinions and viewpoints in Sandy Hill. What do you think are some of the issues surrounding the particular type of diversity that we have here in Sandy Hill?
Well, there's two. The first one is to recognize that we have an aging population, and that's happening in Sandy Hill. You mentioned it's certainly happening in my ward as well in the West, and it's happening across the city. That our population is aging, and we need to recognize that in terms of the services that we provide. We also want to support seniors aging in place because that's cheaper than the alternative. If they can't live on their own, to go into long-term care or end up at the hospital, very, very expensive. And seniors themselves want to stay in the community that they know, where their friends are, where their family is, where they, if they are able to get to the store or the social club or the senior center or the community center, this is the community they chose to live in. So part of our challenge as a municipality is to support those services that help seniors stay in place. And sometimes we're doing this, a lot of the times we're doing this in partnership with agencies, local agencies that know their community best, that use volunteers. Our investment in those local services pays greater dividends because they're able to leverage other resources, whether they're volunteers, whether there's provincial or federal funding or United Way funding. So I used to be associated with the Council on Aging. Some years ago I was their executive director, and I could see firsthand the value of that kind of investment. Well, as our seniors, as we have more seniors and they live longer, that's going to be a growing area to pay attention to. The second is simply the cultural diversity. We're not anywhere near close to Toronto, which is the prime example of an urban, culturally diverse, ethnically diverse community. But we're getting there. We're no longer the community that just has a strong Anglophone population, a strong Francophone population. We have an Allophone population. These are people who are neither Francophone or Anglophone. And they enrich our community, but they also have some needs as well. Their children going to school, to be able to recognize those cultures and accommodate them so that kids with different learning styles, kids that have different cultural backgrounds, they're able to still make their way through the school system. For their parents who bring talent from other lands, but aren't always recognized by professional associations here, what can we do to give them a leg up to take advantage of the talent that's come to our country? And they often bring family members, their mothers, their uncles, their aunts, what have you. And how do we help them accessing the healthcare system, accessing our senior services? So these are elements in play, and from time to time we do have our conflicts between a cultural background and what we call, quote, the Canadian way. But I've discovered that our Canadian way is pretty elastic. We can accommodate many things, and you go into your shop, into your small corner store, you're going to see Asian goods, you're going to see African goods, you're going to see Caribbean goods, you're going to see European goods, and well, it's a delight to be able to take advantage of that. So we need, in terms of the services that we provide to the community, to be able to accommodate this cultural diversity. I think it enriches us all.